You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church podcast. If you'd like to support this ministry, you can give at www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar helps advance the kingdom of God. We hope that this message edifies and encourages you to do the great things God has called you to do.
Class is actually, his teaching is actually very, very amazing and quick, but awesome. I'm excited to hear this word, brother. Can I pass this mic to you? I'm just standing up here because it's cooler up here than it is down there, man. Yeah, it is. It feels good. Yeah, here you go, bro.
Thank you so much. Let's give him a big hand. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you so much. Okay, the first time he had me speak was at Connect. And when I started, there were certain things that I was new to a lot of people, and but it's something I'm used to, so you can help me in that. Is that cool? So when I say praise the Lord, you say hallelujah. And when I say hallelujah, you say praise the Lord. Is that okay? Is that something we can do? Thank you so much. Okay, so today I'm just going to share about a new creation and the Holy Spirit. And I'll start with the new creation because that's really, 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 really who you are. Do you know you are the new creation? If you know you're the new creation, can I see a wave of hands? Well, if you don't know, you will know today, right? Do you know who you are as the new creation? Do you know the new creation is not subject to Satan? It's superior to Satan. Do you know? Do you know the new creation is the one who has eternal life? Do you know? Okay. So we're just going to get right into it. We'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. We can have that on the screen. Okay, look at this. It said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's the only thing that you do. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. See that? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. Leave the scripture up there. If anyone is in Christ, old things have passed away. Do you know that the old things of life, the old experiences of life, when you come into Christ, are passed away? Do you know that? It's not just to talk it. It's not just to say, yeah, I know it. Praise the Lord. All things have passed away. And he said, behold, all things have become new. Behold, the word behold there means see. You have to be able to see it. And that's why I asked, do you know? It's more a rhetorical question because everybody said yes. But the Bible here is saying, it's not like just old things have passed away and you're chilling. Yeah, old things have passed away. The Bible's saying, behold, you have to see. You have to see that the new things have come. You have to see it. And if you don't see it, you will never experience it. You will not. And that's why the Bible put that there. It's just one word. Just slid in there and, you know, you almost miss it. But you double back and you see, behold. In other words, look and see that all things have become new. Do not look back in the past. Do not look back at who you used to be. Do not look back at the experiences you used to have. Look at the new things that have come. Look forward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we're getting into it. We're going to read again on Galatians chapter 6, verses 15. If we have that on the screen. Now look at this. This is very, 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 very striking. I'll read. So you say, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Do you know what this means? The Bible is telling us that there is no other thing that exists in Christ except the new creation. You're not going to find your old self in there. Praise the Lord. You're not going to find your old self in Christ. You're not going to find the guy who, you know, some people sometimes are proud of, you know, the traditions. I'm sorry, I just have to bring this out. We're having tacos at Tom's house tonight by 7, so I put a toothpick in my pocket, sorry. Yeah. So look at that. It said neither circumcision. By that, what it actually means is like whatever traditions that the Jews used to keep. That's what Paul was saying here. That whatever traditions that the Jews, because the Jews had influence, you know, and over, you know, the Galatians, a lot of people knew their traditions. And Paul was telling them, neither circumcision, neither the traditions, neither those, the laws of Moses, that all of those things, as nice as they may be, that when it comes to Christ, the only thing that matters to him is the new creation. The only thing that stands is the new creation. No matter all you do, if you don't know you're the new creation, you are not there yet. You haven't started yet. And who is the new creation? The new creation. Okay, I'll just read this to you. See, the new creation is the one who has never existed before. I mean, that's literally what the word means, right? New creation. If they've existed before, it'll be a remodeled, you know, creation. It will be a refurbished creation. But the new creation has never existed before. And I'm telling you, because we all said, hey, yes, we are new creation. But do you know that the old life was not a part of the new life? God didn't change you, like, you know, take you, wash you, and, you know, and say, okay. The washing of the blood, as we even talk about it, it's actually something that when it's done, then you become a new creation. So the new creation is being born of God. It's not being washed by the blood. Being washed by the blood was to take care of the old creation. And when that was done, the Bible said, as many as believe in him, to them he gave power to be adopted, to become sons of God. So after that was done, the new creation had to be birthed. So the new creation never existed before. You will never find a new creation. If you became a new creation today, you will not find a new creation 7 years in your life. Every time you look at him, he's always the new creation. Every time you look at her, she's always the new creation. At every time, at all times. There is not, you used to do something. Nah, that's not you. Do you know what the Bible said about that? Say, that old man is dead. That's what the Bible said. The old man, he said he's dead. So when someone refers to your past life, you tell the person, I'm a new creation. I'm not that person. That person is dead. Praise the Lord. You know, this is striking because Jesus, in John chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, the scripture isn't coming up. I'm just going to narrate it. It's a popular scripture that we know. The Bible said that Nicodemus, who was a teacher and a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and asked him, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Guess what Jesus said? Jesus said, you have to become a new creation. The guy said, what do you mean? Because you know what? Being a new creation means being born again. So Jesus said, you have to be born again. And the guy, he's probably in his 60s or 50s or 70s, as kids. It's like, what kind of thing is this? What do you mean? Like, do I go back into my mother's belly again and be born the second time? Jesus said, oh, come on. Jesus said, that which is of the flesh is what? Flesh. And he said, that which is of the spirit is spirit. So he was saying that, hey, the new creation is a spirit. The new creation is not born of the flesh. And Jesus marveled at his how little his understanding was. Because he couldn't grasp it. Jesus said, do you get this? Like when the Spirit of God gives birth to you, you become a total new person. You're not the old man. You're not the physical person that they're seeing. That's your body. So a new creation is a spirit. And that spirit is of God. In the first, Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, very first scripture we read, it said, see, all things have become new. And the actual next verse said, and all these new things are of God. So he's not trying to tell you to see, you know, somehow from your old life that all those things,
you know, that are new. Like, see new things in your life, somewhere in, from your old life, or look at yourself in your new character, in your new, you know, pose or something. He's saying, no, look, they all come from God. So they say, all things have become new. He does, I don't know if he has the verse 18, but the verse 18 says, and all these new things are of God. In other words, everything that is in the new creation came from God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll read John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. Do we have that? Okay. So John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. Look at this. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now watch the next verse. Who were born, this new people, this new creation. He said, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I'll read it to you in the version that I have it here. He said, however, he gave the right to become God's children to everyone who believed in him. These people didn't become God's children in a physical way. Did you see that? They didn't become God's children in a physical way or from a human impulse. But watch this. Or from a husband's desire to have a child. It's basically telling you the new creation, there is nothing that is physical about him. So the new creation that you're looking at, it's not the physical person, but the man on the inside. The body is just a house. You know the reason why everybody can give me attention now? It's because we're not outside. If this service was happening outside, once a car passes, you want to make sure it's not hitting you first before your neighbor. And then you can focus back on the script, on the message, right? Now, I said that to say this. Because we are in a house, there are certain experiences that we can have. So a house is not a person. I cannot look at Pastor Tom and say, Pastor Tom, you are at Leonard Dream Center Church, you know, 635 and G Avenue. I can't refer to him as 635 and G Avenue. I'll have to refer to him as Pastor Tom or Tommy. T-Dog. I have to refer to him as that. You know why? Because he is not the building. He's in the building. That's the point here. So he's telling you all new things, all these new things are of God, deposited inside the body that this new creation have. So when you get born again, you might look the same. When you get born again, you might feel the same. When you get born again, your friends don't change. They're probably still the same people you're probably smoking with, drinking with, partying with. They're probably the same people you're, you know, hanging out with. They don't change. To a large extent, the feelings, you might think like, ah, being born again means now the anger just immediately left. You might still feel anger. But that's not you. And what the Bible is saying is that when you focus on the person on the inside, you will begin to see the things that are of God. That's what he meant. He said, all these new things are of God. But he said, behold, all things are new. Behold, you are no longer the building. You are not 635 and G Avenue. You are in 635 and G Avenue. And you are in here so you can have an experience. That's what we call the human experience. As a child of God, when you get born again, you're still in your body because God still wants you to have a human experience. But have it in a better way. Do you realize in the book of John, chapter 1, the Bible was describing Jesus. And he said, in him was life. And he said, this life was the light of men. Do you know what that means? It means that Jesus brought what life is supposed to be. To show all men how to live. That's why when he was walking with his disciples, Jesus, they said, wow, what manner of man is this? That even the seas obey him. What manner of man is this that he can talk to the trees and they listen? So Jesus was showing us that, hey, you can actually speak into your life. You can speak into your experience. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So what you receive when you get born again is a new nature. When you're born again, you receive a new nature. That's why I say all these things are from God. Because you see, what makes a man, is the human nature. When we look at you and refer to you as a person, as a human, what makes you a human is the human nature. Which is why, to a large extent, you realize there are some people that will say, why is this guy behaving like an animal? Why is this person behaving like an animal? That's because we know they're not acting like humans. They're not acting human-wise. Have you ever seen anybody on all fours and they're eating grass? Have you? Has anybody? There are weird things that happen sometimes. But imagine, yeah, I'm telling you. No, you know, the reason why I'm saying this is because I've seen a video of someone on all fours. And I was like, is this real life Tarzan or what? You know? But it's a general knowledge that each and every, if you are a human, you are supposed to walk on all twos, right? You're supposed to walk with two of your legs, all twos, you know? You're supposed to walk with two legs. Even when you see someone hopping with one leg, their humanity is fishy, right? Because have you ever seen somebody do it like this? You get? So you know it's natural knowledge, it's normal knowledge that as a human being, you're walking on all twos. So when you see someone eating maybe grass, and by grass, I don't mean vegan. You know, some people actually call people who eat vegan grass, you know, but I don't mean that. I mean actual grass. When you see someone who say, I'm about to go have lunch. And then you see them, they just go to the grass out there and then start pulling them and eating. You will be like, nah. We have an imposter among us. Praise the Lord. You say, we have an imposter among us. This guy, I don't know, man. So it's weird, right? So what makes a man is the human nature in them. Their ability to act like a human. But you see, what makes a tree is the tree nature. That's the way a tree acts. That's the way a tree is. A tree has a predestined way to behave. Praise the Lord. What makes a dog is the nature of a dog in them. That's why to a large extent, there are people who say, but this guy is behaving like a dog. You're not a dog. You're telling the person, you're not a dog. Come on, act properly. You're not a dog. Because if you see someone picking up food from the ground to eat, that's what a dog, you know, we know they do. And they don't do it because they can't, you know. It's not like they're like, I choose to. A dog doesn't choose to eat from the floor. A dog eats from the floor based on the conditioning of their nature. They don't have paws. Their paws cannot hold food to put in their mouth. So they can't pick it up from the ground and eat. They have to lick it up. That's the nature of a dog. Praise the Lord. So when someone is doing that, you'd be like, bro, come on. You're not a dog. Praise the Lord. So what makes you a new creation is the life and nature of God that is at work in you. And so you don't look at yourself and think, oh, I received the human life the second time. No, it's not the human life you received. You received the very life and nature of God. As a matter of fact, you receive the DNA of God in you. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Tom, can I use you for, you know, thank you so much. You're such a good Christian.
That's what he always tells me.
So, you see him, he's a father, right? Both of them got together and had kids. A lot of kids. And they're having more in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes the kids can also be spiritual.
Yeah, they can, by that
I actually mean, you know, saving people. But look at him. Both of them got together. He brought what he has, and she brought what she had, or she has. And both of them put it together, and it formed a new human. Now, when you look at that kid, you would not look at him and say, you're different from your father. Whether in the physical or in the inside. I don't know if that makes sense. The kids are in Kids Church. I could have had one of his kids. You know, actually, today I was going to use dad and mom. And when he said he was going to preach, I was like, oh, Now I need to use an older father here who their kids are here. So, but look at this. Look at this. There is genetics at work in him. In his DNA and her DNA, they both came together to create a DNA that we call child. Their kid. Now, you don't look at that child and say, you're not Tom's. You know it's Tom's kid. If you don't see it in the facial resemblance, you see it in the way they talk. If you don't see it in the way they talk, the very fact that Tom has a human body and can create a human body makes the kid, no matter how small they are, human. And Tom's. I don't know if you get this. You can never look at a kid and say, this is not human, because they are small. You don't rate a human on the basis of how tall they are. You don't rate a human on the basis of how big they are. You rate them on the basis that they have human DNA in them. Now, the same way when the Bible said that God gave birth to you, thank you so much. When the Bible said that God gave birth to you, it's telling you that no matter how small you are, you still carry the nature and the life of God in you. No matter the experiences you're having, they may look like the old experiences you used to have when you got born again. But it's saying the life and the nature of God, it's in you. Just the same way we don't write a kid off and say, this kid isn't human because they haven't grown up to the, you know, to how their father is or how their mother is. We don't write them off. We know they're human. We can beat our chest and argue with anybody that this kid is human. And you know what? Even in medical science, when you bring, you know, the machine that looks inside the body of a person and look inside the body of a person, you find the genetic codes that belong to these two people in the child. When you look inside, you think, oh, okay, maybe they don't look at them outside. That's why when we do DNA tests, you know, paternal or maternal tests. I mean, you can't do maternal tests. She knows, the woman knows when they give birth. But when you do paternal tests, what you're looking for is that DNA code. Because on the outside, they may look very different. But on the inside cannot lie. Praise the Lord. On your inside, there is no lie that God lives in you. There is no lie that the nature and the life of God is in you. On your inside. Praise the Lord. Wow, wow, wow. So say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm born of God. And God is my Father. In 1 Peter 1:23, he said, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. Hallelujah. So God gave birth to you by his word. So if you find it hard to believe that, how am I human and God gave birth to me again? Which was what Nicodemus was actually confused about. He was like, do I go back in my mother's belly the second time? And then God will say, now give birth to him again. So 1 Peter 1:23 is telling us that we were born by the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The word of God is your parent. Say, the word of God is my parent. You know, then when it comes to the issue of sin, right? Because when you're born again, you're a new creation. So you have to see the new things, right? So what happens when you see the old things? What happens when there is an experience of the old way you used to live? You need to understand that sin, it's a nature that gives birth to acts. Paul in Romans was talking about, he used a lot of what I do, what I don't do, what I do, what I don't do. If some people are familiar with that scripture. Paul was trying to say, hey guys, when I was in the world, when I was not born again, even when I want to do good, I don't find myself doing the good. Because there is something else I notice that is at work in me. Making it difficult for me to do good. Making it difficult for me to live right. And he said, until I came into Christ, I realized, wow, so much freedom. So much freedom to walk in righteousness. So much freedom to walk in holiness. So much freedom to walk in the life and nature of God. That's what happens when you're born again. So sin has been taken away. The nature of sin has been taken away. And then the nature of God, the nature of righteousness, be instilled in you. Praise the Lord. I was just saying earlier that, you know, I gave the analogy of how we are in a house, but we are not the house, right? You don't look at yourself and say, because you're here now, this is your address. This is who you are. You know, it's amazing because what we have, it's an excellent wisdom of God. He realized that there's so much in this world. He said, let me give you a body that you can move around with and have experience. But he didn't say, let me give you a body that becomes you. Which is the reason why when a person, you know, dies and leaves this world, we bury the body. The Bible said the body goes, you know, to dust. And we know, we say they're in heaven or whatever way we think they leave towards us or anything. We could decide maybe they're in hell. You and I don't know that for sure to a large extent because you don't know the person's personal relationship with Jesus. But if they were good to us, we say, oh, they're in heaven now. Or if they were good outwardly, we say, oh, they're in heaven now. But we can say that, why? Because we know that the real man, it's the one who left the body. So when a man leaves his body, the body becomes motionless. The body becomes inanimate. So actually your body was given to you to experience the earth. So you could leave 40 miles away. You could leave 40 minutes away. But you can come here because you are not this place. But this place stays stationary. Hallelujah. So man is a spirit. In the Bible talked about how, you know, he said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept, be preserved, blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So that scripture there outlines the three, what we call tripartite. Tripartite just means three in a fancier word. So the three forms of man. But the real man is the spirit, which is who God has the attention towards. That's who became a new creation. That's the person. Because the Bible talked about how, like, when we were born, the breath of God gave us life. In Genesis, when God created Adam, motionless. They didn't call that person Adam, actually. In fact, if you read Genesis carefully, the Bible shows that God first created Adam in the spirit before he went to form the body. So after forming the body, that Adam that he has created in the spirit, the Bible says he breathed that life into that body. So it's important to know that you are not your body. Your body is given to you to have experience on this earth. Your body is given to you to enjoy life and also to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you realize you're not the body, when God calls you for service, you know, you don't look at the body and be like, ah, I can't make it today. Ah, I'm weak today. Ah, because you're not the body. The spirit within is the person God is calling. And he's saying, hey, I gave you this body. Take care of it. I gave you this body. Put it to rest. Put it to work. Have experiences in life. So when you realize this, you realize that any experience you have in the body, it's not really you. And that the real you can tell that experience how you want it to be. So the experiences are not happening to you from outside. They are happening to you. I mean, these experiences don't have control from outside. The control is from inside. Hallelujah. And because man is a spirit, the Bible said God is a spirit too. And he said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. And that's why today I want to also talk about the Holy Spirit. I said that earlier. Because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus said. He said, for the Father seeks such people. He's not seeking people who worship, who will say, ah, I sinned yesterday. I can't praise God. No, he said he's seeking for people who know that God gave birth to them in the spirit. That irrespective of what it is they did, they have access with the Father because he's their Father. They can always boldly come into his presence. And that's why I want to share on the Holy Spirit a little bit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. Can we read John 16 verse 7 from the Amplified? He said, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, and he's saying that help, that word helper, this is actually what it means. It means a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, and a standby. All of this in one person. He said, he will not come to you if I don't go. But if I go, there's guarantee that he will come. I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. I ask all of us a question. Has Jesus gone this go? Don't mind the English. Has Jesus gone this go? Basically what I mean, has Jesus done this thing he's saying? Has he left? We're expecting him, right? Which means we agree that he is gone. So if we agree that he's gone, do we agree that he has sent the Holy Spirit? Because he said he will send the Holy Spirit where he goes. So the agreement that we're expecting Jesus means that there is someone he had here, he has here, that he kept here for us. And that's the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, sometimes referred to as the third person of the Godhead, basically is just one of the three people of God, one of the three personalities of God. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that created the world. It's the Spirit. Now, the reason why Jesus wants to, let's read the next, let's read Romans 8:11 so I can show you something. Praise the Lord. See, he said, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells within you. So if you were having human experience even after you're born again, the Bible is telling you that by the Spirit of God that lives in you, you can begin to have non-mortal experience. This is where signs and wonders rest. This is where miracles rest. So these things we call miracles, signs and wonders, it's not for the children of God. God doesn't need to show his children signs. They are signs themselves. So, but he's telling you, look at it. Because you know, in Mark, let's see Mark. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Look at this. They say, and these signs will follow them who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Keep going. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Did he say, when they are sick, they will recover? He said, no. I don't mean it like they won't recover. I'm saying, it didn't say that the person that believe will be the one sick. He's saying they are the ones that will lay hands on the sick. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God's power. So Jesus said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Hallelujah. And that's the power, you see? He said, who believe? You know, he's not saying you would see. So sometimes some people, you know, when we talk about how when you receive the Holy Spirit, you know, we talk about prayer language, praying in tongues, you know, and some people look at it, you know, weird and think, it's not for everybody. Well, look at what Jesus said. He said, it's one of the signs. So if that prayer language part, you haven't gotten that part, he's saying you should be laying hands on the sick and you should see them recover. It's saying if you take up serpents, they won't hurt you. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to 17. He said, they will cast out demons. So it's telling you that it's a package that comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit being God, God himself, that's that person who is that new creation on the inside. The Bible talked about how he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Do you know what? Do you know that there's a scripture that talks about, give me a second, I'll read that and I'll round up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes. It's so quiet. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Well, the scripture has refused to pop up. But
Let's read 2 Corinthians. Let's read 2 Corinthians and we'll round up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18. I'm about to tell you something. You see, in this verse of the Bible, look at this here. Okay. I think it just popped up. Aha. In Ephesians 1:13. Did I give you that? Ephesians 1:13. Let's read that real quick. So he said, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So when you heard the gospel, the Bible said, when you believe, that's what trusted means there. When you believe, what happened? In whom also, after you have believed, see a second belief. So in the second belief, he said, when you believe in the Holy Spirit being on earth here, haven't been given to us. He said, when you believe that he can come and live in your body, he said, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit is the verification badge that God is your Father. The Holy Spirit is the one who, when he's on the inside, Bible says the greater one lives in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know why this is important? This is important because in life, there's such a thing called the enemy, sometimes referred to as the devil, sometimes referred to as Satan. Do you know Bible said that Jesus has gotten all power in heaven and earth, and then he gave us this power. So when Jesus gave us power, which is through the Holy Spirit, we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What happened? Immediately, power switched hands. The devil can no longer hurt your life. Because greater is he that lives in you than lives that he that is in the world. So now, because the devil can no longer hurt your life, guess what the devil can do? He will try. And you know, it's not just that he can't hurt your life. It's the fact that you can hurt the devil now. You can put him in his place. You can take charge. So now that the devil knows this, he's wondering, man, I don't have any power to come against this guy. What do I do? Guess what he does? Let's see what he does in 2 Corinthians 3. And that's it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Now look at this. So he said, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That particular place just means, hey, as you look into the Word of God, the change the change will come in your life. But look at the next. So chapter 4, verses 1 says, therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy. As we have received mercy, we do not lose light. Let's keep going. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let's keep going. We're going to get there now. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, in other words, hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now look at the next verse. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded? Who do not believe? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine on them. In other words, since the devil has nothing on you, the devil can't touch you anymore. Guess what he does? He tries to tell you, hey, you are not God's son. He tries to tell you, hey, you're not a new creation. So he comes to you with doubt so you don't believe. Because you know why? When he can blind you, he can't do anything to you. By law, spiritual law, physical law, the devil can't touch you anymore. But guess what he can do? He can come and tell you, you haven't believed. He can come and tell you, these things are not real in your life. That's what the Bible is saying here. It said they do not believe. Why? Because their minds have been blinded. And that's what the church is for. When you walk into the church, the minister gets to share God's glorious gospel to you. Share who you are in Christ. Tell you, look and live. So he said, behold, all things are new. Look and live. Else, you will walk in the blindness that is at work in the world. Hallelujah. And I just want to pray for anyone here who, if you think that you haven't really received Jesus in your life, or you're not really sure, or you're not sure if you're a new creation, I'm going to make a prayer to you, for you, to God. And I would like, if you're that kind of person, if you want to receive Jesus, you know, into your life, I would like for you to just raise your right hand Just raise it. And then can you put it on your chest for me? Put it on your chest. And I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to repeat the words that I say after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I come to you. I want you to say this boldly. You know why? Because that's where the power is. In your boldness. In your confidence. I come to you, dear Lord Jesus, with an open heart. Forgive me. Wash my sins away. And give me your new life. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord in my life. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And I receive the eternal life of God. And I say no. And I denounce devil and the darkness. And I receive the light of God in my spirit. Therefore now, I am born again. I'm a new creation to the glory of God. And I want to pray for you for the ministration of the Holy Spirit. If you're someone here who you haven't experienced the Holy Spirit, if you haven't ever been prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, I am Pastor Tom. We're going to pray for you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit so that that power to live a changed life can come into your life. If you're that person, you're not sure if you've received the Holy Spirit, you could just stand up with us. Is that something you can do? Thank you, Mario. Thank you. If you're someone, you know, you can be confident. The Holy Spirit is God. That's actually receiving God. Praise the Lord. And we're just going to pray for you. Can you just lift up your hands? Say, Holy Spirit. Say this with me. Say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Live in my body. Become one with my spirit. I give my body to you and I accept you forever. Thank you, precious Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray right now for everyone who's asking for your spirit, boldly and not boldly. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill them with your spirit right now. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God comes upon your body and he lives in your spirit and becomes one with your spirit now. And this day I speak over your life that devil has no place in you anymore. That the devil and his demons, they have no place in you anymore. Darkness have no place in you anymore. And light has come into your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Congratulations. You're born again. You're a new creation. Thank you so much.
We hope that you enjoyed today's sermon. Once again, if you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com to help us advance the kingdom of God. And check us out on the Church Center app and all your favorite social media platforms. Until next time, be blessed and go do the great things God has called you to do.